Good, let's make a start there, and maybe others will join us, but let's begin. Let me pray for our time before we start. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the huge privilege it is of coming to you and speaking to you in prayer. Thank you so much for the different sessions this summer, and for time now to meet and to pray and to hear from your words. And we pray, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would grow us as prayers, and teach us about yourself, teach us how we should pray to you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. We're continuing our summer series looking at prayer. This morning we're particularly thinking about praying in the face of opposition. As before, we'll spend a bit of time looking at the Bible, thinking about prayer, and then some time praying in smaller groups. So we're thinking about praying in the face of opposition. And given some of the terrible headlines coming out of places like Iraq or northern Nigeria, we know that opposition to Christians is a reality in our world. Maybe we feel helpless sometimes when we see that. Maybe we feel angry, different feelings. But certainly one thing we can do is to pray. So how do we pray as we see opposition to Christians around the world? We're going to be focusing on a prayer in Acts chapter 4. So if you want to turn up that, that's page 1099. So Acts chapter 4 on page 1099. And let me read from the beginning of chapter 4. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So Peter and John have annoyed the apostles by speaking about Jesus, and they're arrested and imprisoned overnight. And that kind of situation may be rare here. Maybe occasionally we hear of a kind of overzealous, politically correct police officer arresting a street preacher or something. But as we've been reminded in recent weeks, this kind of thing, or much worse, is the norm for Christians in many places around the world. But this session isn't just about praying for Christians we see on the news and facing extreme opposition. Skip across to verse 17, and you'll see that at heart it's not dissimilar to our situation as well. So the council debate what to do, and then verse 17, in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. So actually, at heart, the issue here is simply that people don't want them to speak about Jesus, which is much more our experience. So I know one guy in the city who emailed around his office, inviting them to an event here. Someone complained to HR, and they told him never to do that again. I'm sure we've all had similar experiences. I asked one friend if he wanted to read John's Gospel, and he kind of responded, you know, why would I ever have any interest in ever doing that? And the relationship's gone a bit cold. Even if people do it politely, many people don't want us talking to them about Jesus. And so how do we pray for Christians across the world as they face opposition? How do we pray for ourselves or for each other as we get negative reactions? How do we pray for each other in the city? What do we say to God? What do we ask for? What do we need to remember? Well, chapter 4, I think, gives us four things to shape how we pray in response to opposition, which are down on the sheets on your table. And first of all, remember who we're praying to. So our God is in charge of everything. Glance across to verse 23, and we'll carry on reading. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. So they start by remembering who God is. They know their God. They address him as the Sovereign Lord, the one who rules this whole world. We pray to someone who is absolutely in charge of everything. So the title sovereign, we use that about our queen, don't we? That means that she does things like open parliament and receive foreign guests and sign bills that she doesn't have a choice over. And she's certainly not sovereign in any real sense of the words. But the God we pray to really is. He says again and again that he is utterly in control of everything. Because, as the rest of 24 says, he made it. Everything down here on earth and in the sea, everything up there in the heavens, he made all of it. And it's so good, isn't it, to know that this is who we pray to. Because he is the sovereign Lord, he can genuinely help. He's not just a kind of big, well-meaning friend at a distance. He is well-powerful, and he is sovereign. So first, as we pray in the face of opposition, whether that's what we see on the news or what we experience, remember that our God is in charge of everything. And then let's pray and address him as such. Then second, Acts 4 reminds us what God has told us that we should expect, that we should expect to see opposition. So let me carry on reading from verse 25. They pray, Sovereign Lord, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. So as they pray in the face of opposition, they quote a psalm where David's talking about the opposition that he faced. So verse 26, the kings and the rulers gathered against him, against God and against God's anointed, which was David in the first instance. He was God's anointed king. But then verse 27 shows us that it's actually pointing to a bigger reality. So let me carry on reading. Verse 27. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. So just as David, God's anointed king, was opposed, so too, they say, was Jesus, the ultimate eternal anointed king. Yeah, your anointed, they describe him as. The one that David pointed to, Jesus was also opposed by both the Jews and by the Gentiles and their rulers. But it doesn't stop there. Carry on, look at verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your words with all boldness. So just as David and Jesus were opposed, so too these Christians have been threatened and opposed because they are God's servants. They're not the king, but they are the king's followers. They're with him. So they're not surprised that they've just faced the kind of thing that he faced. So again, as we pray, as we respond to seeing opposition, we can remember that God's told us this is how it has been. For it was like this for Jesus and will be like this for his people. So we can pray that we wouldn't be knocked or surprised by the negative reactions we face. We can pray that for Christians across the world, that they wouldn't be taken aback by what they're facing, but would have the right kind of expectations, that this is the norm. So as we pray in the face of opposition, pray that we and other Christians in the city and around the world would remember, this is what Jesus faced, this is what David faced, this is what we should expect to face too. And just note in passing verse 28, to underline the first point, that God really is sovereign. They are praying to a God who really is in control of all things, even opposition. They describe the opposition that Jesus faced as what God's plan had predestined. God really is the sovereign Lord, even over the opposition that we face. And then thirdly, Acts 4 reminds us of the job that God's given us, which I think directs what we ask for, particularly for ourselves or for others in these situations. So let me read from verse 29. Look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So the things they ask for, their prayers, are driven by the mission that they know Jesus has given them. They know that Jesus has told them and all Christians to spread the announcement that he is Lord and Saviour across the earth. And they know as well that as they do their job, verse 29, to speak that gospel message, they know that God and the sovereign Lord, the one who's powerful, will be at work in amazing ways. And so they pray that God would just help them keep doing the job that he's given them. And they've seen that the mission Jesus gave them will be unpopular and will provoke opposition. They know they're tempted to duck out, and so they ask for boldness to keep speaking. Interestingly, they don't seem to ask for the opposition to go away necessarily. They know, the second point we saw, that these are the expectations that we should have. But they pray for boldness to continue in spite of that opposition. And I think that's really encouraging, isn't it? Sometimes when we read Acts, it feels like these Christians are some kind of superhuman who never feel the fears and temptations that maybe hold us back. But here they are praying for the very same thing that we know we need, and boldness. Not to be intimidated by people around us in your office, not to stay quiet about your faith because of what you think people might think of you, not to compromise on how we live and blend in because we value colleagues' approval over God's. In all these situations, we need boldness. And so as we pray in the face of opposition, we need to remember the job that Jesus has given us and pray like these guys do for boldness to keep on speaking. And then fourthly and finally, as we pray in the face of opposition, let's remember that God answers prayer. So let me read verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So God really does answer prayer. Just look at verse 29, what they asked for, that they'd keep speaking with boldness. And then verse 31, as God gets to work by his Spirit, they continue to speak the words with boldness. God shows himself to be the God that we saw he was in point one, the sovereign Lord who is powerful to act and intervene in their day as in ours. So there are four things to shape our prayers as we pray in the face of opposition, as we experience it ourselves or as we see it around the world. Pray that we'd remember who God is. Pray that we'd not be knocked or surprised by the opposition we face. Pray that we'd remember the job that God has given us, and pray that we'd keep on speaking boldly, and remember that he answers prayers, that he is powerful to intervene. So as before, let's now turn to pray in smaller groups. If you want to break up into kind of threes and fours, that might help, give us time to pray, so feel free to spread around. If you want to pray with people that you've prayed with before, feel free to do that. At the bottom of your sheet, there are some points, things to pray for. Perhaps share our experiences, share kind of opposition or negative reactions that we faced, share situations where we know we need boldness, and then pray those things for ourselves, but also pray them generally for Christians in the city and for Christians across the world. And then feel free to pray for other things, things in the city ministry or anything else you wish. And as always, feel free to stay and pray for as long or as short as you like. Let's now turn to prayer.